it's nice to be working our way out of the year of COVID. During that year, there were things that we had hoped would happen that didn't. There were weddings that were put off, family gatherings that had to be postponed or canceled for the year. A lot of things happened. But I would like to talk about the plans and so on, and making the most of the diversion. In a good way. Diverted in a good way. Out in Central Oregon, they have some of the, well, it's not just Oregon, but it's the one I'm familiar with. They have crops that are planted on hillsides. And to do that, and to keep them from being washed away, they put in diversion ditches. And with a caterpillar or a tractor and implements, they mound up the dirt and make a ditch across the hillside at several places, so that the water won't just wash down through their crops. And so they divert the water, and it's not destructive that way. Diversions can be good things. A lot of our plans were diverted through COVID, because of weather, because of duties, and so on. It happens a lot. And so when we read in the Bible that Paul and Silas had anticipated a ministry that was diverted by God, we think, okay, it's not just me. It's even in the Bible. And there must be a good purpose for it, and there must be something that we can learn from that. That diverting things sometimes is profitable. So I entitled this sermon today, Making the Most of a Diversion, because God can make the most of the change and accomplish his purpose. In Acts chapter 16, verse 6, we catch up with Paul and his companions again. His companions are, that we know of, are Silas, that he picked up at Antioch, the home church, the church base for their ministry. Silas came along, and then as they went through Lystra, they picked up the young man Timothy. So as it says, Paul and his companions, there are the three of them at least. There may have been some others that traveled part-time with them too, but we're not told that. We don't have any awareness of that. So Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia, Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Father, please use your word to bless our minds and hearts. Continue to give us understanding in this Christian life. It's not a life that we live on our own. And so we pray that you direct our thoughts to the things that are eternal, to the confidence that you know our steps, and I pray that you might guide us as a congregation. And as a result of this little short section today, that we would have a confidence in what you're doing in our personal lives to Jesus. Well, that was exciting to read that, wasn't it? Something's happening, but so they're traveling. You know, the Bible does talk about making plans. I'm sure that Paul and Silas sat down and they said, you know, my suggestion, Paul would say, with Barnabas was to go back to the places where we visited, the towns, and where we preached the gospel, and there were people that were saved. Let's go back and encourage them. Well, they talked that way, first of all, with Barnabas. They had differences of opinion about who they were going to take along, so they split up. And Paul and Silas then made the plan, let's go back to Iconium and Lystra and Derbe and other places, Pisidian, Antioch that were around there, and let's go back and visit all these places where we've been, and let's enlarge our ministry. Let's just keep going. Man, we got good shoes, we got Nike Airs, we could keep walking. And so they made the plans, and the Bible tells us that God can oversee that too. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 3 says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. And I'm sure, I wasn't there, but I'm sure that Paul and Silas prayed, God, direct our steps. We want to succeed in this ministry. Guide us along. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9, in his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. Okay, Lord. Here it is. We've got it laid out. We're kind of going on by the seat of our pants to direct us. We don't know exactly what that country is like. Direct our steps. Well, what we read here is that they intended to go into the province of Asia. And it seemed like a reasonable plan. It would just be continuing on from where they were in Galatia and go on from there into Asia and up toward the Black Sea, that direction. And something happened. Something happened. In verse 6, the last part of the verse, they traveled through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Oh, we had plans, but God changed them. Why does God overrule our plans and divert us from them? What the Bible says here is that another word we could put in this text, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit, having not been permitted by the Holy Spirit. Something happened that no matter how hard we try, we're not holding it. Somehow God convinced them, this is not the right way to go. This is not what I want you to do. And sometimes, even though it was a good plan, sometimes good plans can be put on hold. Wait, time's not right yet. We know that God had a way of reaching Asia, because later Paul was going to be in one of those Asian cities of Ephesus, and the seven churches that are written about it by the Apostle John in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, the seven churches there are in Asia. So somehow Asia was reached. We're not told everything about that. But for now, for Paul and Silas, the answer is, don't go there. Okay. You have a better plan, a greater fulfillment, that's good. And we know about how God does his working out his plan, because in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, when the time had fully come, in the fullness of time, God sent his son. And for generations, people have been looking for the Messiah to come. And when the time was just right, God made his will and brought his son to the world through the Virgin Mary and the baby. When we work, when we make our plans, we work with a limited experience. We work with limited knowledge. And we work with limited time. How can God make a decision that is better than ours? He's not limited at all, is he? He's not limited by time. He's not limited in experience. He's not limited by the things that he knows, like we are. We're limited. But when we entrust our plans to the Lord, what kind of resources are we getting? Eternal perspective. God is above all. And if he changes our plans, we know he knows better than I do. God is God and I am not. And the Bible encourages us to make plans and take the steps and commit them to the Lord. Your plans will succeed. Maybe not a plan to go to a place or a plan to get together, but a plan to glorify God in your life. And I hope that this thing that I have on my calendar will glorify God, and that that will be right. But if he changes my plan, he's changing it for his glory, for my benefit. We work with those limits, but God does not. So, they couldn't go to Asia. The Holy Spirit kept them preaching the word in Asia. So they start, okay, let's go north. The border of Mysia and Bithynia is up there in the north. And as they got to this border, what does it say?
Go for it!
Didn't happen, did it? The Spirit of Jesus prevented them, would not allow them to go there. The Holy Spirit, all that in going to Asia, the Spirit of Jesus, the same Spirit, but Jesus is directing their path. Jesus is also called the Shepherd of the sheep. So as the Shepherd, you want the Shepherd to go ahead of you. You want to follow the Good Shepherd. You don't want to go off and then say, oh, come find me. You're right. No, it's best to be in his care and being led the whole way. And here they are desiring to go into Bithynia. And the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them. I think the point that the Lord would have us conclude right here with not being allowed to do this is to admit to ourselves and to the Lord, Lord, you know best. Lord Jesus, you know what's best. Some of you experienced COVID this last year. Did God allow that? And what was your conclusion coming out of it? I'm assuming you came out of it because you're here. We survived. What was your conclusion coming out of it? God kept us. His way was best. He allowed us. Not everybody got it, but those of us that did, he allowed us to get it. It didn't take me by surprise. There were things that I wanted to do in the time frame that I couldn't do. God, you know best. For me, I made the most of it. I got quite a lot of extra rest. Got a lot of reading done. I read in my sleep. No, not that. But found profitable things to do, even in those. But God, you know what's best. I'm committing my life, my future, my hopes are in you. I was really impressed. I've got a couple stories here to tell. I was really impressed with a man that worked with children. His name was Ken Cummings. And he was denominational. He worked in a denomination as the minister of Christian education. And he was over churches for be a help to many churches. And he led a vacation Bible school in our church when I lived in Tacoma, Washington. And the way he talked to us best kids. It just drew me in. I loved it. I was a 9-year-old kid. Maybe 10. And just drew us in. Literally. Because his wife was off to the side as he was talking. He had a wonderful voice and he'd sing. And as he was singing and as he was talking, his wife was drawing us in with a chalk and drawing a beautiful picture. And there were probably at least 100 kids, maybe 200 kids there. And she'd draw this picture and we'd all be sitting back there just, oh man, this is great. And we caught some of what Ken said. And but she drew us in. And then she turned on the black light, and there was another image, you know how that works, it comes out, and her picture revolved around this black light image that suddenly came out of the picture. When I was 17, Ken Cummings was our camp speaker, and he told a story that got to me, and he said, all the time I was growing up, he grew up in Michigan, and all the time I was growing up, my heart's desire was to grow cherries. He wanted to be a cherry farmer, have a big cherry orchard. That was his dream. He was planning on that. He was counting on that. Somewhere along the line, though, God got his attention and said, you would be bored to death if you were growing cherries instead of raising children. He told that story when I was 17 at camp. I said, that's me. That's me. And I publicly dedicated my life to ministry like Ken had dedicated his life to ministry. And then I got busy. I went to school and I went down to Portland and attended school for one semester, and I felt like I was stuck in the mud, spinning my tires, and not accomplishing anything. So I left school and got some jobs, and I ended up in the sawmill along the Columbia River and worked my way up in that. And I thought, you know what? I even actually talked to all the bosses and said, I think maybe if you let me continue working my way up, I'll just stay here. Worked in the song. And the boss said, I don't know that that's a really good idea. It was one. And then after a Sunday evening church service, the fellow that led the college age and young adult group, Tom Elfritz, came up to me as we were going out from church and he said, I've been thinking about you, I've been praying for you, and I'd just like to suggest, before you settle down and it becomes really difficult for you, why don't you go to Bible school? The Ford light came on, and I thought, you know what, that's the Lord prompting, because I dedicated my life to the Lord, not to the song. And before that, at age 10, I dedicated my life to the Lord and to my own plans. And so I went to Bible school. And I'd say how many years ago, because I kind of forget. It's been a long time. But he changed my plans, diverted me off of my path that I was taking. Because God knows best. Lord Jesus knows best. And I have a story here. I got this from a book that I have from Erwin Lutzer, Dr. Lutzer. Some of you know of him. He is the preaching pastor or the senior pastor at Moody Memorial Church in Chicago, Moody Church now. And he wrote this book, and in the book he quotes a book. He quotes a book called Seeking Refuge on the Shores of the Global Refugee Crisis. And in that book, the author tells of a pastor in Jordan who opened this church to Syrian refugee children and their mothers and offered life skills, training, and other activities. Sadly, many in this congregation didn't agree with the decision and left. But the pastor said by welcoming the refugees, his church changed for the better. He is quoted as saying, "For so many years, we tried to share God's love to the people in Syria, but we were stopped. Now Syria has come to us, and to our church, and theirs for the reach." That has a better idea. And sometimes it means for His glory in our lives, our plans get changed. God overrules and diverts us from our plans. But when God diverts us and moves us on, it may be away from something, but it always chooses something else. So we read here, "So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas." That's where the ship stopped. "During the night, Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia standing and begging him to come over to Macedonia and help us." We see it later. Paul and Silas couldn't see it right away, probably. But God wanted to invest their lives in reaching Europe. Not just staying, when we talk about Asia, Bithynia and Mysia, those are in Western Turkey. And to turn back there, to stay in that area, they would not have reached out into Europe. So they went down to Troas, and they found God's blessing there. How did God bless them? Well, first of all, they picked up Dr. Luke. Dr. Luke must have been there. This is the first time we read in verse 10, Paul had seen the vision, after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave. We. And during the book of Acts, there are those times now that we read. We did this. We went there. Who was with them? Dr. Luke. And he's quite the historian. He wrote the Gospel of Luke. He's been writing these things because he wanted to get all the facts. He didn't give us a big long story about the wandering around in Western Turkey trying to go someplace for ministry. Doesn't tell us he wasn't with them. That really wasn't much of a story. God said no. So they didn't go. But they picked up Dr. Luke. The next thing they had, they were given a direction through a vision. The Apostle Paul had the vision from the Lord. And it was a man from Macedonia that said, "Come over here. We know." And it says in verse 10, they concluded that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. This is very, very important. We understood the call of God. This is really important because it's something that we find these principles and these things in the scripture that we could slide right over. But it's really important to know this is the way that God says for me to go. This is the place, this is the way, these are the things that I'm to do. And to be able to conclude, this is God's call. This is what God wants. I've submitted my plans to Him, and He is directing my steps. And what I'm doing right now, I've submitted to the Lord, and He is leading me. I may not know where the two is yet, and He may be going through that. I know some are in limbo about places, homes and things here. But they understood the call of God so that when they run into difficulty later on, They don't say, I made a mistake. I shouldn't be here at all. Or I shouldn't have married this person because we don't get along now. How many times have I heard that? But because of the present circumstances, if I wasn't convinced that God led me to this point, I might want to bail. But because God called them through this vision, and they concluded, God is urging us and calling us to Macedonia, go across this Aegean Sea, into Europe, into Greece, Macedonia. Now, when they get beaten at Philippi, they say, God put us here. They don't say, whoops, let's go back and catch the boat back. This isn't the right place. Couldn't be. It's tough. It's trouble here. No, God put them. They concluded it was God's call. Do you have that kind of confidence? Have you had that in different things that have come up with you? Something we learned to practice. God, I commit my way to you. It's not my ideas that I'm running on. I want to be running your way and your purpose. And so in order to find what, how that is, we go to the book. So they concluded that God called them to Macedonia where the gospel was needed, and they started another series of adventures for Christ. A verse that I would take away from there is in Proverbs again. Are you ahead of me? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. He will make your paths straight, discernible. Follow Proverbs 3, 9, 6. So then I ask a question for us. This is just a little short passage, but having those two times when Paul and Silas were kept from doing what they thought would be the best thing to do, I think there's a lesson for us. Will God reveal His will to us so we don't wander? Well, there's three verses that I'd like to point you to. Because He wants us to know His will and doesn't withhold what we need to follow. And that verse is in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Who is speaking there? There's a man that's penning it, that's writing. The Apostle Paul, but who is speaking? Whose word is this? It's God's word, isn't it? And God is telling us, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So as we seek God's will, we are within His will. In His will, when we say, I want to know your will, He invites us to know. He wants us to know. In Psalm chapter 32 and verse 8, the Lord will teach us how to live for Him through the Bible. So we need to read it. If we want to hear from God, where are we going to go? God's Word. The Word that God has preserved for us is inspired Word. Psalm 32:8 says, I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. It's not Him. I'm going to instruct you and teach you. And when we have questions about how to handle this life, we can go to the Lord in wisdom. So, what can we assume Paul and Silas, his companions, were doing when the door kept being shut? And you know, one of the things, Kenneth Weiss, in his expanded translation of the New Testament, said about this, that the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to go into Bithynia. It was, the grammar is such that what the scholar got out of it was they were trying over and over again to go into Bithynia. And it was like, they're not getting the picture. We're not to go into Bithynia this way. Maybe if we take videos, maybe the area will be open that way. Or maybe if we gather up a music group. The Spirit of Jesus said, no, no, no. If we lack wisdom on what we should do, what are we to do? Sit and mope about. Pray instead and ask God for wisdom. Because he tells us we should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, that would be given. Plans, diversions. Who's in charge? I trust your answer is the Lord is. But no matter where we are in our station of life, God's still in charge. I trust he'll do that. Because a week from now, nobody knows what's going to happen. Well, I don't know that we have our afternoon planned out because we have Heavenly Father, we do that. Whether it's going to be after a time of home, this thing's over. But we want you to be God in our lives, the Creator that knows the beginning and the end, the one who is precise in your plans for us. Even as you said to Jeremiah, I know the plans that I have. Speaking to Israel, plans not to harm you, but prosper you, to give you a hope of future. And so, you as God, we commit our lives to you. We end our plans.